Let me just respond briefly, if I may, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, essentially what the minority leader is saying is this is a big problem. It's a tough problem. Let's not do it. Let's kick the can down the road. It's too tough for us to do. I don't think that's the right response. We've got a crisis in this country. We have a public health problem. We need to address it. We see it played out over and over and over. We see it in Aurora, Colorado. You see it in Tucson, Arizona. You see it in Newtown, Connecticut. We can save lives. We can protect the public health. We can stop people from being injured and killed by firearms, and we can do it with many of the things in this legislation. Licensing provisions save lives. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts have lower rates of gun deaths than we do. That's because they have licensing provisions. Places like the gun dealers that sell guns to criminals, if we have our state police looking over their shoulders, we can save lives. 1% of the gun dealers in the country account for 60% of the guns that show up in crimes. Magazine clip limits can save lives. Let me give you an example. The testimony of Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, before Congress was incredibly moving. He's a gun owner. He supports the Second Amendment. He owns guns. Gabby Giffords owns guns. He said, look, the shooter in Tucson shot Gabby Giffords in the head with round one. He had a Glock 19, I think it was. It had 33 bullets in the gun. He inflicted 33 wounds. The 13th shot hit a 9-year-old girl and killed her. There's an example where magazine clip limits could have saved lives. There's an example of where assault weapon restrictions could have saved lives. Same thing in Newtown, Connecticut. In Tucson, when the shooter went to reload, somebody tackled him. You know, Arizona is a right-to-carry state. Somebody had to tackle him when he finished when he shot the 33rd round. Somebody tackled him and stopped him from putting another clip in his gun and doing more damage. The guy who did that was mentally ill. We can stop some of these crimes if we can keep guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill. If we haven't drawn precisely the right lines, we've drawn pretty good lines. An involuntary commitment is somebody who's a danger to himself and others. Doctors, judges have made that determination. We can keep guns out of their hands. We're not going to stop all crime with this bill. We're not going to stop all gun violence with this bill, but we can save lives. And I think we're abdicating our responsibility if we say to our constituents, you know what, it was too complex. It was too tough. We couldn't straighten it out, so we kicked the can down the road. We'll look at it again some other time. I don't want to read about another Newtown, Connecticut. I don't want to read about another shooting at a place of worship or in a movie theater. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Our constituents are sick and tired of it. The Washington Post did a poll that showed that 85% of the people in the state of Maryland support this bill, all the provisions in this bill. We need to pass this bill. We can save lives. It's our job to do it.
Mr. President.
Senator from Frederick Carroll.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, the chairman was accurate. There is a problem. And you're going after the wrong people through this legislation in trying to address it. If you go to the Treatment Advocacy Center's website, and a study was done in 2000 of 100 rampage killers, isn't that who we're attempting to address? Isn't that what brought this to the forefront? 100 rampage killers. You go back from 1949 to 59, there was one rampage killing. 60 to 69 in the 60s, there were three. In the 70s, there were six. But then it starts to tick up in 80. 80 to 89, there were 17. In the 90s, 73. What happened in the 80s? What happened in the 80s was there was a significant change in the mental health care and institutions in this country. In these 100 cases, 63 involved people who made threats of violence before the event. In case after case, family members, teachers, and mental health professionals missed or dismissed signs of deterioration. What's interesting is 12 of the perpetrators had psychotic symptoms at the time of the killings. Another 8 individuals exhibited behavior suggestive of psychosis. Thus, 20 of the 30 perpetrators had definite or probable psychosis. Yes, there's an issue. No, this isn't the solution, Mr. President. This is the wrong way to go to deal with a national challenge that we have. And who are you going to affect? You're going to punish law-abiding citizens. Are there issues that need to be addressed? Yes. Does it involve the mental health? Does it involve the mental health community, the treatment centers, and things like that? Absolutely. But you're going after the wrong thing here. You're scratching something that doesn't itch. And then you're going to pat yourself on the back as you walk away and wonder, when the next thing happens, what can we do now? What can we do differently? You're taking people who, in my opinion, are patriots. And these are a